sip before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst. Cleanse your palate before you quench your thirst.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Hello and welcome to this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, and this is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. As always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. We've got several good interviews this month. We'll be talking to Amy Pettit from the Alaska Farmlands Trust, plus Odd Man Rush Brewing and Baleen Brewing. But first, let's get started with this month's beer news. On March 12th, the Brewers Association, the not-for-profit trade group representing small and independent craft brewers, released its annual list of the top 50 producing craft brewing companies and the overall brewing companies in the U.S. based on beer sales volume. Of the top 50 overall brewing companies, 40 were small and independent craft brewing companies. Quote, although the market has grown more competitive, particularly for regional craft breweries with the widest distribution, these 50 small and independent brewing companies continue to lead the craft brewing market in sales through strong brands, quality, and innovation, said Bart Watson, chief economist. Alaskan Brewing finished 19th in the list of the top 50 craft brewing companies and 29th in the list of all breweries. On February 28th, craftbrewing.com, the Brewers Association website for beer lovers, released its annual list of great American beer bars, celebrating establishments across all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico that readers voted as outstanding for imbibing independent beer. More than 30% of the beer bars craftbeer.com readers nominated are making their first ever appearance on the list. Quote, craftbeer.com's mission is to tell stories about the people, communities, and businesses who are the heartbeat of small and independent craft brewing in the U.S., said Jess Baker, editor-in-chief, craftbeer.com. We're excited to shine a spotlight on the beer bars who prominently feature U.S. craft breweries and create memorable beer experiences. They are part of the awesome independent beer community we celebrate. Cheers to the winners on this year's list, end quote. The winner for Alaska was Prospector's Historic Pizzeria and Ale House, located just outside Denali National Park. Alaskan Brewing Company is debuting a new line of cans this March, featuring beers that have never been in a can and a brand new mixed can 12-pack. For the first time, Alaskan White Ale and Husky IPA will be in a can and will be part of a core group of canned products that invite beer drinkers to experience the excitement of Alaska. Joining White and Husky in the newly designed lineup will be the iconic Alaskan Amber and fan favorite Kolsch. All four will be in 6-packs and 12-packs in select markets and will be the four varieties featured in an all-new mixed can 12-pack. Quote, the redesigned artwork of our new cans is all about placing people in the breathtaking environment where we get to live and brew our beer, said brand coordinator Tasha Human. Our amber artwork has always featured the fishing life in Alaska, but now the fishing vessel Caribou, the salmon fishing boat featured on amber since 1986, is barreling forward amidst a churning ocean. We've taken that approach of connecting people to the thrill of Alaska with all of the imagery of these canned products. End quote. Our fans love to bond with the Alaskan spirit represented by our beers, and these new cans can do that with design and also because aluminum cans are so easy to pack in and out of adventures, said communications manager Andy Klein. We want these bold new designs to inspire people to get out on a trail, go fishing, run with a dog, find a remote beach, or find a great place to explore, no matter where they are. That's the Alaskan spirit that we are always excited to see when people pick up one of our beers. End quote. The mixed can pack and 6 and 12 packs of Amber, Kolsch, Husky IPA, and White began appearing on shelves starting on March 1st. Scott and Cherie Stiller, the people behind the long-running and well-respected E.T. Barnett homebrew competition held each summer in Fairbanks, have announced that they have decided to call it quits. In an email to former participants, they wrote, "Running the ETB is a lot of work and a lot of money. Coming up with enough judges has always been very stressful. The funny thing is that each year we add new people to our list of judges, and yet we keep having to scamper for judges. People actually do have lives. Go figure. Of course, we'll miss doing the ETB. It has been fun seeing what our prize donors send us and seeing what interesting beers are entered." End quote. Last year's contest also had trouble from the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, which I will discuss later in the show. The ETB was an excellent competition, one I've entered myself upon occasion, and it will be missed by homebrewers across Alaska. Barnaby Brewing in Juneau is close to reopening in its new location at 165 Shattuck Way. You may remember that Barnaby was heavily damaged by fire last April and forced to relocate. As of 27 February, the brewery reported that it had recommenced brewing operations and expected to be open to the public within a few weeks. Today, Saturday, March 23rd, is Orval Day. On this day, devotees of Orval Trappist Ale convene at their favorite bar to celebrate one of the world's unique and highly respected beers. Orval was the first Brett beer to land on U.S. shores and has become the favorite beer for many star American brewers. Brett is shorthand for Brettanomyces, a yeast variety that adds appetizing, sharp acidity and dryness. Orval sells one beer, brewed to exquisite perfection within the walls of Notre Dame de Orval Monastery in Belgium. It's delicious when it leaves the brewery, but also evolves in the bottle for 5 years or more. Each year, Merchant Duvin, the U.S. importer of Orval, makes a donation to charity based on U.S. sales of Orval on Orval Day. The charity partner for 2019 is Safe Water Network, helping to bring clean, sustainable waters to communities in Ghana and India. After they tally up Orval Day 2019 sales, Merchant Duvin will donate 50 cents to the Safe Water Network for every bottle of Orval sold. If you would like to participate, there are several locations in Alaska celebrating Orval Day. In Anchorage, they are La Potato, Kinley's Restaurant and Bar, Hearth Artisan Pizza, and both La Bodega locations. The La Bodega in Girdwood is also participating. In Juneau, the Narrows Bar is a participant, and in Wasilla, the Schwabenhof. If you're listening to this live, please consider stopping in to one of the locations and purchasing one or more bottles of Orval. It's a great beer for a good cause. That's it for this month's beer news. Coming up next, we'll have an interview with Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
Have you ever wondered how much fish we sell on the Kenai, or how much oil comes from here, what it's all worth, and what it all means? Well, we have too. That's why we created Econ 91.9, a weekly look at the Kenai Peninsula's economy, what makes it work, and who makes it work. Tune in each Friday at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. for new numbers, emerging trends, and a bit of trivia. Econ 91.9, Friday mornings at 9 and again at 5, right here on KDLL, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. And on the line, we've got Amy Pettit of Alaska's Farmland Trust. Amy, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. So for our listeners who might not be aware, why don't you explain what Alaska's Farmland Trust is and what it does?
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity. So at Farmland Trust, we are the state's only agricultural land trust focused on preserving agricultural soils across the state. There's a couple of other land trusts in the state that people might be familiar with. They're mostly focused on preserving open space, wildlife habitat, etc. Farmland Trust is here to protect agricultural soils.
And you do that by basically buying the development rights?
Yeah, so it's kind of a complicated legal process, but that is the gist of it. We work with landowners to buy away their development rights. We purchase that from them. That is one of the common misnomers about the work that we do. People think that we own land, but Farmland Trust to date does not own any land. We simply own development rights on a number of different properties throughout the state.
And since you own the rights, we know that those lands will never be developed.
That's right. Not only will they never be developed, but our program requires that the property continue to be used for agricultural purposes, be that as grazing land, producing vegetables, lots of different options there, but it must actively be farmed. It cannot sit idle.
That sounds great. Well, one of the things that caught my eye and the reason I wanted to have you on is that your campaign you have where your slogan is drink beer, save farms. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
It's catchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's been a great slogan for us, and we're really happy with the success that it's had. It really started about 3 years ago when I was working with a local restaurant owner, and he had a kind of a great outdoor venue for concerts. And I was trying to get Alaska Farmland Trust's name out into the community more. I was new to the organization and felt like a lot of Alaskans didn't know who we were or what our purpose was. So I approached him and I said, you know, would you host a happy hour for me, perhaps from 4 to 6 on a Friday afternoon? Anybody who comes into the back room of the restaurant could, you know, listen to a little spiel about Farmland Trust, and you would donate $1 per beer bought during that time to the trust. And he said, yeah, I would do that for you. He said, but you're not going to make any money. And I kind of looked at him and I thought, what? And he goes, if you want to make real money, why don't we do a real event? Why don't we do a concert? And we'll get brewers to donate beer, and you can keep the beer proceeds, and we'll just have a great night. And that's kind of how it started. Thankfully, the Ken Peltier band, Ken Peltier and his band, decided that they would contribute to the project and reduce their booking fee for the evening. And that was in 2016 when we had our first Drink Beer Safe Farms event here in Palmer. And we've subsequently had the event 5 different times in multiple different locations. We've probably sold about $15,000 worth of the Drink Beer Safe Farms t-shirts and hats. And we're starting to be known for that slogan and connecting with more and more brewers and more people, you know, kind of resonate with that tagline. And then they ask good questions, and then it kind of makes sense to them and they want to get involved.
Yeah, to me, it's a totally logical pairing because, let's face it, one of the first foods out there that was in the whole local food, slow food movement was craft beer. When people started brewing craft beer in the late 70s, early 80s, I think in some ways they were ahead of their time between where we are today, where there's more emphasis on buying locally grown food, eating local, being a locavore, those kind of things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't really thought of that, but that is such a strong point. And, you know, here in Palmer, we've got a number of craft brewers that are so dedicated to the local community and local agriculture. They've been so generous with Farmland Trust. And, you know, we in turn help them connect with different growers. One of the brewers is looking for beets at a certain time of year, and another brewer was looking for some mint and some other herbs to add to one of his blends. And so we try and be helpful to them on making those connections as we can, and in turn they're very generous at our events, and it's been a great relationship.
Yeah, I would love to see us really develop a barley and malting industry up here in Alaska. I think we're a little too far north to ever realistically have a serious commercial hop growing, but we could definitely grow barley, and if we had the facilities to do it, it would be a real boon for our brewers.
You know, it's happening on a small scale. We've got a number of different barley growers who are changing to the two-row barley that's needed for the brewers. And we have a farmer, the Vanderweel family. They have grown some barley specifically for distillation and for brewing. And one of the sons, Glenn Vanderweel, has been doing his homework, and he's gone outside to a number of different locations to learn about the malting process. And he has malted a couple small batches of their Vanderweel barley, and I think there's some cool things on the horizon.
Well, that will certainly be great because there's a real, I think there's a real demand up here for Alaska-grown, Alaska malted barley, and it's a great pairing for Alaska breweries to be able to support Alaska farmers to be able to support Alaska breweries. So that's let's keep the money in the state for a change.
That's right. It makes just perfect sense. And, you know, my background before I came to Farmland Trust, I managed the state's Alaska Grown program for about 10 years. And when I jumped ship and came over to Farmland Trust, and I was trying to figure out how to get people to connect with this work that we do, you know, because it's legalese and it's complicated and not everybody understands it. And I thought, well, the one thing that people can connect with is food. And if we, you know, and we can really capitalize on that Alaskans' desire to eat local and of course drink local. And it really does seem to resonate. We've really grown our number of donors and contributors and sponsors of our events. And I don't think it's because they understand the legal side of the equation. I think it's because they get that we have to protect soil so we can grow more food and more barley and, you know, other things to incorporate into the local food and local drink movement. And it's really working.
Well, that's good because we certainly need it. I believe we're still importing 95% of our food from outside the state. So anything we can do to boost our local food production is a good thing.
That's right. And, you know, there's nothing but potential for the growers and producers that want to get involved. I mean, look at that. I don't know what the tonnage of barley that's imported into this state every year to produce all the beers that are produced here in the state. But what an opportunity for a young person who wants to get into the business, or if they want to be on the value added side of it, maybe in the malting side, or there's just nothing but opportunity up here. And I think Alaskans will support it all around because we're so committed to supporting our neighbors, which is really a great thing.
Well, let's hope so. Amy, thank you so much for the good work that you do and the taking the time to talk to us today. We really appreciate it.
You bet. I hope to see you at one of our upcoming Drink Through Safe Farms events, Bill. We've got June 1st is the first one of the summer. We'll be out here in Palmer with the Ken Peltier Band, and look for more information on our website, akfarmland.com, and it'd be great to have you there.
I'd love to be there, but I know on June 1st, I'm going to be running the first Soldotna Saturday Farmers Market, so I pretty think my June 1st date is spoken for, but
I'll try
and make it one of them this summer.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate the support.
All righty, thanks, Amy. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM. We'll be right back with our next segment.
It's pick-click-give time for Alaskans. When you file for the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend, you can support your favorite nonprofit organizations. Do you value public radio? Donations help KDLL provide the news, features, and entertainment programming you trust from around the world and right here at home. Apply for your dividend at pfd.alaska.gov by March 31st and pick click give to help your favorite organizations. Thanks.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. I'm your host, Bill Howell. In our next segment, I'd like to talk about the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. If you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you have probably heard me rail at least once against the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Our old friends at the ABC have been up to some new tricks, so I thought perhaps it was again time to couch my lance and take another tilt at that windmill. If you go to its website, you'll find the board described as follows. Quote, "The Alcoholic Beverage Control Board is established as a regulatory and quasi-judicial agency for control of the manufacture, barter, possession, and sale of alcoholic beverages in the state. Alaska is a licensed state with issuance of licenses by the board to private business." End quote. What does that mean in plain English? It means that any sale or transfer of a license to manufacture or sell alcohol must be approved by the board. Want to have a special event for your charity and serve alcohol? That must be approved by the board. Want to renovate your restaurant and change the footprint of where in it you'll be serving beer and wine? Go before the board again. In other words, pretty much anything that has anything to do with alcohol sales in Alaska has to, at the very least, be rubber stamped by the ABC board. You can see where this gives them a great deal of latitude to make mischief. So, who makes up this board? Well, there are five seats, with two being reserved for industry, one reserved for public safety law enforcement, one reserved for the public, and one reserved for rural public, meaning off the road system. In theory, the board members are independent citizens of our state who are tasked with interpreting and applying Alaska's mind-numbingly convoluted liquor laws in an even and just manner. In practice, the board mostly approves whatever is proposed by the director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, Erica McConnell. In fact, the latest budget proposed by Governor Dunleavy more or less gives the game away by disbanding the board completely and vesting its authority solely with the director. And just how has this authority been exercised in the last few years? Well, in the fall of 2017, there was the ruling by the board decreeing that Alaska's distilleries could not serve drinks made with non-alcoholic mixers in their tasting rooms. Not even water was to be added to the straight spirits tasted. That wrong-headed decree took a special law passed by the legislature to correct. A couple of months later, Director McConnell also raised eyebrows and hackles around the state when she took aim at brewery tap rooms. She sent a memo to the board members requesting, quote, that the board clarify on the record its interpretation of the intent of a manufacturing license and the parameters around extracurricular activities, end quote. Some of the extracurricular activities taking place which concerned McConnell were listed in the memo. They included yoga classes prior to opening to the public, poetry readings and book signings, sales of local crafts, yodeling competitions, and, this is a direct quote, fun. Yes, you heard that correctly. The director of Alaska's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office is officially concerned that Alaskan citizens might actually be enjoying themselves at breweries and distilleries in this state and sees it as her duty to stop such nefarious practices. I mentioned in this month's news segment that the E.T. Barnett homebrew competition was shutting down. One of the factors contributing to this was its harassment by the Alcohol Beverage Control Office last year. For many years, the Silver Gulch Brewing and Bottling Company has graciously supported the event by allowing the entries to the competition to be dropped off at its brewery and provided a space for the judges to evaluate these entries. However, last summer, the ABC office told Silver Gulch that allowing the judges to consume homebrew on its licensed premises was a violation of statute and could put its license at risk. To quote Scott Stiller, last year, the Alcohol Control Board came down on Silver Gulch and us. We had to move the judging off-site. Fortunately, the good folks at Silver Gulch had an unoccupied apartment nearby that we could use for the judging. I looked into moving the competition from Silver Gulch, and the logistics would be overwhelming. End quote. Well, one of Alaska's oldest homebrew competitions may have been destroyed, but at least the ABC can rest easy knowing they've saved Alaska's from the terrible danger of someone judging a bottle of homebrew at Silver Gulch Brewing Company. Even more recently, the ABC board created an uproar by threatening to withhold the renewal of the Alaska State Fair's recreational license to sell alcohol in order to force the legislature to enact new legislation. Director McConnell said at a board meeting in December that of the 11 licensed premises on the Alaska State Fairgrounds, only one or two locations actually meet the definition of a recreational site according to state law. State statute defines a recreational site as, quote, a location where baseball games, car races, hockey games, dog sled racing events, or curling matches are regularly held during a season, end quote. ABC Board Chair Robert Klein suggested that keeping the license in limbo may push the legislature into action, quote, given the popularity of this event, there is merit to holding this license hostage for some action from this legislature, Klein said. They had an opportunity to decide this last year and the year before, and they didn't. There's a large constituency that this fair has, and if we can bring that to bear and get some action, I see nothing wrong with that, end quote. Some board members also considered taking the step of denying the license to push lawmakers into action, but others hesitated to use a licensee as a proxy to spur the legislature. Quote, we shouldn't use this vendor as leverage against the legislature to get them to be proactive in moving something, said public safety member Rex Leith. I think if we have an issue with what we think is a time delay to get something moved through the legislature, we should approach the legislature with that issue, not manipulate a license and therefore penalize a licensee because of it, end quote. In the interest of fairness, I should point out that the alcohol laws of Alaska are a convoluted and outdated mess, one which the legislature attempted to address last year with SB 76, a proposed rewrite introduced by Senator Peter Michicki, which I reported on extensively last year. Senator Michicki has introduced Senate Bill 16 in this session, which contains portions of SB 76 and which would address the issue of the state fair's license. However, the ABC board's willingness to use a licensee's livelihood as leverage to compel the legislature to act is troubling and hardly seems in keeping with its mission. In conclusion, I think that if Alaska is going to have an alcohol beverage control board, that board should exercise its discretion to do what's best for Alaskans. If all the board is going to do is blindly apply statutes, then why have a board at all? Currently, the ABC board and Director McConnell seem to view their role as one of protecting the citizens of this state from enjoying themselves. Personally, I think I'm adult enough to decide for myself how to have a good time while consuming alcohol. Up next, we'll have an interview with Odd Man Rush Brewing Company. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.